You know, the interesting thing is John, unlike the other synoptic gospels, doesn't start with the story of how Jesus came to be in Bethlehem. Doesn't relate any of that. They're important, but the Gospel of John starts from the very beginning and tells us who Jesus is and what Jesus came to accomplish. He came to accomplish the Father's will. In John chapter 6, it says, Jesus says, I come not to do my will, but I come to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that none given to me will be lost. That's his purpose. That's his mission statement. And in John, the first chapter, we know the first few verses say, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and nothing was created without him. Starting in verse 10, this is after John has said, the Baptist has declared that Jesus is greater than he. John, the disciple, writes, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet, the world did not know him. He was there. They saw the miracles. They heard of the miracles. You know, the lame could leap. The blind could see. The dead were raised. The dumb could hear. People who were without food were fed from a little lad's lunch. Not once, but twice. He walked on water. He calmed the seas. And yet, they did not know him. Jesus said his mission was to come to the Jews, the children of Abraham. Because, you see, the challenge in the Old Testament is when God made that promise to Abraham that he would make of his seed a numberless multitude of children of Abraham, the Jews looked at it as, if I can draw my lineage back to Abraham, then I'm a child of Abraham, and therefore I am saved. Jesus disappointed a lot of these people because he told them really what God had intended. And as he goes through here, he came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. The Jews did not accept him. What did they do? They sent him to Pilate to be crucified. Why? Because he interfered with their idea of what a king should be or what a ruler should be. And he certainly wasn't going to place himself under their power or control. Verse 12. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Now you look on the queue outside, the sign, and it says children of God. And I'm not going to disagree too strongly with a number of ministers, friends of mine, and other people who think we're all children of God because we're born. We're children of Abraham, therefore we're children of God. Well, it's not biblical. It's not scriptural. Everybody, sadly, is not a child of God. How do we know that? It's because Scripture tells us who children of God are. There's a criterion. It's nothing you can do other than receive Him and believe in His name. Now, there are demons who knew who Jesus was. He casts them out of a person who was possessed by them in a graveyard. They knew who Jesus was. They believed in him. They recognized his power. Well, they certainly weren't children of God because he casts them out of that man who they had been persecuting into swine, and they jumped off a cliff. They were certainly not children of God. The criterion for being a child of God, very simple, is for us to receive him, believe in His name, and then we're children of God. In Romans, Paul tells us, what do we have to do? Confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. In other words, we accept Him as our Lord, which means He's the master, we're the servant. I mean, I know that's tough in a generation like ours, because we're all thinking about us, and it's me, and so on. And as I told Betty Johnson Saturday night, you know, Sydney and Sierra, this isn't just picking on your generation, you know, because there are a few other generations that have been me generations too, okay? And we all have to be reminded that Jesus tells us that what we're supposed to be doing is looking not just out for ourselves, because what does He do? And when He paraphrases the Ten Commandments, He says, love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as self. Which means, guess what? You don't get to love yourself totally and completely. You love God, and then you show your love of God through the treatment that you give your brothers and sisters. Now, there's another word that comes out of this. He gave them power to become children of God. Because those children of God, here's the piece, they were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, then we become children of God. And the Holy Spirit comes in. We surrender our own control over our own lives and our own decisions and surrender them to Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change and transform us. If we're not changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, we didn't get the Holy Spirit. If we're just doing the same thing that we did day in, day out before we received the Holy Spirit, then you haven't fully accepted Him. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. What's grace?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. See, you and I can't earn His grace. It's unmerited. There's no way we can achieve any debit on God, that He owes us something. Grace. And that grace is unmerited and undeserved, because it's something that we don't deserve and earn. God is under no obligation to give us grace. And yet, because of His love, He does. Greater love hath no man that he lay down his life for a brother. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are truths that we hear throughout John. Because he comes to tell us, not the chronological piece, which is important, but he tells us the intent and motive that God had for sending His Son, Jesus, to be with us. And it's all wrapped around love and grace and mercy. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by Me. That's truth. There are people that will dispute it. There are people that will argue it. But you know what? Standing in front of that judgment seat, I'm not questioning it. Okay? He said it. I believe it. Issue closed. John testified to Him and cried out, this was He whom I said who comes after Me and ranks ahead of Me because He was before Me. The next three verses are very, very important. From His fullness, from Christ's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay, we're going to do this again. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Because I didn't earn it. God gave it. Grace upon grace. The law, indeed, was given by Moses, and by that it teaches people how to act towards God and towards each other. But Jesus brings us grace, truth. Grace and truth. The truth is we need God in our lives. The truth is we need to know more about God. The truth is we need to allow God to come more into our lives. And as I said last week, one of the things I hope and pray that each and every one of you do this year as we start this new year, start this new decade, not just a New Year's resolution, we all make them, and how many of them last past the first or second day or month? But look at this one. There are so many devotionals out there. You can pick up an upper room. We've got them back there. There'll be one set up. And you can look at one for each and every day. But just spend some time getting to be in the Word and allow the Word to be in you and in your life. And let that Word demonstrate by your activities and by an inward joy and a change in your attitude and a change in your perspective for the new year. You'll be surprised at how much better the day gets. See, no one has ever seen God as God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made Him known. You know, the disciples said, "Show us the Father." And what does Jesus tell him? You've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. On that Mount of Transfiguration, Peter and James and John saw the glory of God. And when Jesus ascended after His resurrection, they saw the glory of God. And Advent, as we celebrate His birth, we also expectantly look for His return, His coming back. As Paul tells us in Thessalonians, the trumpet sounds, the clouds part, Jesus descends, the graves give up the dead, and we all rise to meet Him in the heavens. And we're there with Him forever in a new heaven and a new earth. That is grace upon grace, glory upon glory, light and life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.